Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Beis BeNisan, Tavshin Ayin Hey, Parashas Shabbos Pesach, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 31 March 2015, webcasting from the land of Israel, threatened once again by conscienceless lunatic Jew haters, just like Germany's Nazis. You all saw, I imagine, the one-sentence news item today quoting Iran's head of the Basij, a so-called militia, saying that the liquidation of Israel is non-negotiable. And let's be clear just who he is. The Basij is subordinate to the Pasdaran, the Revolutionary Guards, who 35 years ago, under Ayatollah Khomeini, were his personal army of violent men, fiercely loyal to him, not to Iran. These were not Iranian nationalists, but Shiite religionists, who looked up to Khomeini as a kind of god or pharaoh. Today, his successor at the top of the pyramid of power in Iran is Ayatollah Khamenei, with the Basij still around, a kind of stepchild of the Pasdaran. Wikipedia described them as a loosely affiliated groups controlled by local clerics. They have a local organization in almost every city in Iran, close quote. Yeah, like their forerunners, they are volunteers who join Basij to be able to throw their weight around and all in the name of Islam. They are thugs. And we should not be surprised, therefore, when the titular head of these local self-starting gangs, usually loyal to a local Muslim priest, call for the elimination of the Jewish state. And by implication, all the hundreds of thousands, even millions of Jews would die if this man gets his way, God forbid. And it's not the first time an Iranian at the top of the power elite has publicly called for the destruction of Israel in public, shamelessly, just like a German Nazi in the 1930s, grinning from ear to ear at the thought of murdering all the Jews in the world. Nazism, communism, and Islam are all totalitarian systems of rule that is hateful of individual liberty, and not coincidentally, all hate the existence of the Jewish people, who this Friday night will have a meal and tell the story of this people's escape from Egyptian slavery under Egypt's pseudo-god Pharaoh. All totalitarians hate the Jewish nation that celebrates Passover every year, which commemorates the exaltation of freedom. How Islam, which means submission, of course hates Jewishness. And the Muslims, Ishmael, well, they're of the seed of Ham, whose seed was destined to become slaves of slaves, and even today Muslims live in 56 nation-states, not one of whose societies Western man would want to live in for its absence of liberty. Of course, this thug of a general in Iran would say proudly in public, Israel must be destroyed, God forbid, because this is the Islamic religion. Myself, young and ignorant years ago, I was told and believed that Islam was more tolerant than Christianity. It had no Holocaust, no deicide charge. Why, they were our Semitic brethren. Then I investigated the matter of Jewish life in Islam and discovered the truth. Islam is as anti-Jew as Christianity, if not in identical ways. But then I probed further and came to see Islam as less an anti-Semitic religion, like Christianity, and more profoundly a religion of anti-Semitism. Christianity certainly has had its major anti-Jew dimension, but that's not the whole story. It has positive sides. Islam, by contrast, is all Jew hatred. The Quran, on many pages, contains plagiarized ideas from the Tanakh, in addition to full-blown intellectual property theft of Jewish holy writ. In fact, wholly unlike Christendom's appending Greek-language books to our Tanakh, while leaving our Tanakh more or less intact, Islam rewrote most of the important events in Tanakh, and ever since, Islam has preached that the Jews stole these events from them first. Moshe, whose name those lisping desert illiterate brigands in the 7th century mispronounced as Musa, Musa brought down the Quran from Mount Sinai, and the evil Jews rewrote it. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, came along almost 2,000 years later and restored the original true text of the Quran, according to which Ismail was the son bound by his father Ibrahim, two more Hebrew names the Arabs can't pronounce. It was not Isaac. It was not Ishak, as the Jews say. The Jews lie when they say that, says Islam. This is Islam, ladies and gentlemen. And covering up this truth since 2009 has been none other than the President of the United States of America. That Muslim in the East, the greatest enemy agent in the history of enemy agents, who sweet-talked his way onto the bridge of the American ship of state, grabbed hold of the helm and has been steering it into the rocks since his first minutes in office. When the news and the videos of Muslim head choppers broke a few months back, there was Barack Obama, who went golfing after the beheading of an American non-believer. And he eventually spoke out in classic Arab mode by preaching to the American people that, you know, in the Crusades, people did bad things in the name of Christ. This is a textbook Arab and Muslim behavior. As president, he, of course, condemned wholeheartedly the behavior of the head chopping, the glory of decapitating enemies, which he said no religion preaches, when the Quran most certainly does do that. But then he directed his listeners to think of their own forebears acting more or less the same way. Call an Arab terrorist a terrorist, and he will shoot back, "No, you are the terrorist." So the Muslims head chop, and Obama speaks of the Crusades. Overall, here was Obama, and for the first time, playing PR agent for Islam to the American people, not speaking in defense of the American people when aggressed against by maniacal Muslim head choppers. And this is what has been coming out of Luzon's nuclear talks as well, you know. You saw the defection and request for asylum by Rouhani's former spin doctor, this Motaghi fellow. He went to Switzerland and he wants asylum now. He says in the P5 plus 1 talks, the American delegation has been an advocate for the Iranians. And again, from yours truly, and for the first time since January 2009, I ask, when is the Congress of the United States going to rise up and do its duty? This is a fellow in the Oval Office is unfit for the job, for he misidentifies who are his people and his role as president. He sees it as his job to sell Islam to the American people as a nice religion, deserving of respect, just like the Jews, you know, who have too much. What was Fort Hood if not Obama's jumping to the defense of Islam to the point of denying the truth of its connection to the massacre by that Muslim maniac who murdered some 13 fellow soldiers? Obama said, workplace violence. Islam, more or less, had nothing to do with it. Is this not denial on a par with Holocaust denial? An erasing of a past moment or moments in time because it's just too uncomfortable to deal with them. Islam is also suitable for this behavior because it's a shame culture, not a guilt culture. The shame of Fort Hood for Obama was too much. And the obvious responsibility of Islam in the massacre was also too much when Muslims barely understand guilt. They do understand shame. How Muslims, like Obama, like Louis Farrakhan, who was given an award by the clergyman Jeremiah Wright, who allegedly converted Obama to Christianity. This is how they behave. Louis Farrakhan is a nobody known only for his sporadic Hitlerian outbursts of Jew hatred. And Obama would be too a nobody if not for his hiding his Farrakhan-like soul from the public. You can see it, though. Can't hide it all the time. In the still photographs of his encounters before the press with Benjamin Netanyahu. The news photographers, you know, in those sessions are constantly taking pictures, and the record shamas sneer as he looks at Bibi. Versus, for example, his ear-to-ear grin when meeting Erdogan, another known Jew hater. So the talks in Lausanne today ended with another victory for Obama and his stooge, John Kerry, who 40 years ago was one of the communist Viet Cong's favorite stooges. Obama has won another round. Every day the Iranians are allowed to run their machinery as a victory for them and for him, their spokesman in the Oval Office.
אשכחך ירושלים, תשכח ימיני, תדבק לשוני, לך איתי, אם לא אזכרכי. אם אשכחך ירושלים, תשכח ימיני, תדבק לשוני, לך איתי, אם לא אזכרכי.
That was an Iraqi melody for the famous lines of Psalm 137, 5 and 6, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." When the history of this generation is written, historians will be scratching their heads at how the American people's representatives allowed this charlatan, this incompetent anti-Semite, to stay in office. The second election of Obama after his ugly first term will surely be marked as a major turning point in the history of the United States. The demographics I read recently suggest that the people who created this country, mostly Northern European Christians with a smattering of Jews, are no longer reproducing themselves. Put another way, their culture, their America, is dying. For sure, every year in visiting the Alto Heim, that's Yiddish for the old country, I see more and more of its collapse. The number of horribly fat people, the medical term is obesity, That's been appropriated, really, I think, to disguise the old word gluttony, the way the word gay was originally a code word for sodomy, appropriated gay to disguise that fact. Everywhere there are people tattooed, like what Americans used to call savage heathens. I saw on Fox TV coverage of the so-called spring break in Florida for college kids and on other southern beaches, which draws nearer every year to becoming a time for a mass public orgy. American culture, in its advertising, its female fashion, its entertainment, is wallowing in what used to be seen as pornography. It's a culture in which images meant to arouse are everywhere. There are 12-ounce soft drinks at movie theaters with buckets of popcorn. Gigantic chocolate bars, chocolate chip cookies, and Starbucks are half the size of pizza pies. And then there is the saga of Hillary Clinton, that quintessential driven feminist, driven to do a man's job. Not because she has anything to contribute as a human being. I have never heard this woman speak a memorable political thought. Did she ever in her time as Secretary of State write a thoughtful opinion piece for the press on a subject of foreign affairs? The late, great Jean Kirkpatrick wrote one such article that was so good she was appointed to be the first woman ambassador to the UN. But Hillary? What has this woman ever done or said to exhibit her fitness for the job of Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces? The president's most serious responsibility. Who is this woman to think she should be president? There's two of the sign of the times. Hillary Clinton chose the life of a politician over that of mother. Clearly, she's a woman of intelligence, and she should have borne more children than one. How characteristic of the baby boom generation, who has not brought into the world at least the 2.11 number of children to perpetuate the culture. Americans as a breed are dying, like the Europe's post-patriotic post-Christians. And in a way, there's a connection between Hillary, this woman's alienation from motherhood, and her corruption. She graduated Yale Law as valedictorian and went to work for a congressional Watergate committee investigating Nixon, whose Democratic chairman was surely as pleased to be going after Richard Nixon as Hillary was, but he, unlike her, still had respect for the law and the limits on what was permissible to do in the investigation. But not Hillary. He had to fire her for her utter disrespect for the law. She would do anything to get Richard Nixon. And here she is a biblical generation later, found to be flagrantly in violation of government email regulations, and even pocketing millions of dollars via her Clinton Foundation from the Saudis and the Qataris and other states she dealt with as Secretary of State. What an interesting peculiarity. Here's Hillary Rodham, first in her class in college at Wellesley, first in her class at Yale Law, who seems not to understand the very basic concept of a conflict of interest. Utterly, apparently, she's oblivious to the contradiction between her job as Secretary of State and personal interest in raising funds for herself. We should not be surprised, though. Not when her husband refused to do the right thing, following the pornographic pollution of the Monica Lewinsky story, which was not about a clandestine, doomed love affair like between Romeo and Juliet, but sex games in the Oval Office. If this were a society still in possession of a sense of self-respect and integrity, Bill Clinton should be shunned. The right thing for King Billy the Kinky would have been to shut himself in, like Menachem Begin, for the shame and the disgrace he brought on the American people. And Hillary should have left him, the way Maria Shriver left Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not Lady Macbeth Clinton. What a low-down society America has become. The language, too, has become a sewer of pollution. I flew from New York to L.A. 5.5 hours on St. Patrick's Day, which resulted in sitting in a row in front of a couple of young white fellows, constantly drinking, not getting soused, but constantly chattering in a conversation in which every second word began with the letters F-U and then the second word began with S-H. 5.5 hours of this. Anyway, it's therefore fitting that the U.S. has for a president this low-down, corrupt, nasty enemy of the United States. who is one of the great charlatans in history. Again and again, the best of the MSM analysts are saying Obama is desperate for an agreement with Iran for his legacy. I don't agree. He doesn't care about his legacy because he does not care about America. He's a Muslim in his heart, and all Muslims hate America for several things, including America's support for Al-Yahud. Obama hates Jews the way Louis Farrakhan hates Jews, only he has concealed his hatred and even lied about his support for Israel. Talks about an unshakable, unbreakable bond. He has many times said that, but I no more believe him when he does than I believe him when he says Fort Hood had nothing to do with Islam, and if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Like many Muslims, he lies 24/7, saying whatever advances him toward his goal at the moment, and to hell with truth, with his true feelings and true thoughts.
Hashem elech, Hashem alach, Hashem imloch leolam va'el. Hashem elech, Hashem alach, Hashem imloch leolam va'el.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. I wonder what historians of the future will say about our time and the behavior of our American president. What will they say of the American people who refuse to judge him intelligently and critically? Every move he has made in the Middle East has been against American interests and, of course, against Israeli interests. There is a constant response by him to events in the Middle East that reflect his acceptance of all that has happened in his time. Starting on April Fool's Day, 2009, in office less than 3 months, he was videotaped bowing deeply to the King of Saudi Arabia, whose citizens, starting with Osama bin Laden, had been central to the horror of 9/11 8 years earlier. Then he went on to topple longtime American friend Hosni Mubarak and replace him with Mubarak's mortal enemy, the Muslim Brotherhood. He retreated from Iraq, and that led to the head choppers of ISIS. I fear Americans have become slaves to the world of images they inhabit. They've become so fat, they have become cowards. And we have yet to see any of the mainstream journalists speak the truth about this man, including those on Fox. No one will come out straight and say this man is an enemy agent who must be removed from office and, I think, prosecuted and ultimately imprisoned. He has, by common agreement, spent his time in office, from the get-go, really, trying to get the Iranians into becoming friends of the United States, not enemies. Early on, he said the U.S. under him was extending a hand of friendship if only the Iranians would unclench their fist. Like his Secretary of State Kerry, who felt it was his mission to teach fellow Americans that the Viet Cong had a case and America had to be nice to them, so Obama wants Islam to like America. And, of course, one way you do that is Jubash. He denied the U.S. is an exceptional country, which covers up the true abyss separating the United States as a culture from Islamic culture. His is a multicultural world in which all cultures are of equal worth. Except, of course, for Jewish culture. You know, between 1945 and the present, 148 new states came into being and joined the United Nations, all having had some kind of national liberation movement. Only one, though, had its national liberation movement smeared as racist. That's exceptional. Obama is a devotee of Islam, and as such should never have entered the White House as president because Islam is at war with America. American culture, which has been the pinnacle of Western civilization since World War II, in contrast to its current demise. There really ought to be a law, I think, denying Muslims the right to emigrate to America, a law to outlaw Islam as a polygamist cult. Here's a story that illustrates the quality of life in Araby, which the West can't do without. Memory.org recently reported on a recent TV debate over the destruction of antiquities in Iraq by ISIS, during which a Syrian political analyst, one Yahya Badr, said that the Egyptian people were entitled to claim Australia as legally theirs because ancient inscriptions found near Sydney were Egyptian hieroglyphics written by a grandson of a pharaoh who wrote that he had come from the West and therefore from America, so really both America and Australia really belonged to the Egyptians. On the basis of the custom of imperialist Europeans, he said, the first to plant his flag becomes the owner. To repeat, this is the mind of a political analyst, as Syrians understand that term. This is the same mind at work in a Saeb Erekat at Camp David in the year 2000, who agreed with Arafat that the Jews never had a temple on Haram al-Sharif. This is the same mind at work when Barack Obama said, Muslims had been contributing to American culture since the beginning. No. He said they have won Nobel Prizes. No. And the truth is that no Muslim in America ever did that. I don't think any Muslim outside the peace types like Sadat ever won a Nobel Prize. So when this character has said that he will not let the Iranians build an atomic bomb, he has been lying.
יום אשר ברא כונן והקים במלכות שבת שוכן שחכים אם רגלי לא תשקוט ללא מרגוע בחיקה אנפש את ענה שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם לבנה הוד ותפארה נחלת עבדי אשר יחידה עדות יקרה התחיל וחילה וליבי טוב ושמח שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם יום שבת תשמח מאוד נפשי לעלות להר קודשי מאתמול תחזיק בקו שישי שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם יונתי תבונני שירה לאל צורי מחיבה את ההר זה זכר כה אצל החופשי בעולם הבא שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום היום לשם שבת היום
Lastly, another example of why the original sin of the Lausanne talks with Iran by the P5 plus one countries goes beyond crossing all their own red lines, as we've seen. Last week, the chief of staff of the Iranian army, General Hassan Firouzabadi, said that ISIS was the creation of the United States, Israel, and Britain to fight Muslim states. With such a man, such a regime, which has aggressed against all the P5 countries in acts of war, one should not negotiate. One must dictate one's will to such countries and enforce the will with economic and military means. The original sin is entering negotiations at all with these maniacal Muslim mullahs in Iran who openly shout death to America. As the Allies brought down the Axis, so an alliance of free Western states must declare war on Iran and force it to destroy its nuclear project. This is the only way to deal with a regime like this. Okay, that's it for this first night back from a break. Good to be back. I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.